Well, hello and welcome to our contemporary online service from St Andrew's and All Saints in Malvern for this week. Whoever you are, wherever you're watching from, whenever you're watching, you are really welcome to be part of our gathered community online this week. And I just want to invite you, however your week's been, whether you've had a really good week, whether you've had a really tough week, whether actually you felt God's presence really closely or whether you're just feeling really distant at this moment, I just invite you to draw closer again to God, to open your heart to Him, to just allow Him to meet you this morning in this place, to bring you hope, to bring you strength, to bring you His love. And just be open to all He has for each one of us this morning. So we're going to begin by just hearing some words and by opening prayer. And maybe just echo these words in your own hearts today. Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak to us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. I invite you to stand and sing in your own homes. Our God saves.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We are gathered together to lift up your name, call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Up your name, call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves.
we thank you that you are a God who saves. We thank you that there is hope in your name. We thank you that you turn mourning into shouts of praise. We worship you. We adore you. We lift your name high. We praise you. And we draw near to you now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That song speaks of bringing hope and transformation where there has been despair. And it just reminds me of those verses from Isaiah 61, which Jesus quoted just at the start of his ministry. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And the thing is that Jesus invites us to be part of that vision. He invites us to join with him in bringing in his kingdom in that way. And one of the ways that we're doing that at St. Andrew's and All Saints is through CAP, Christians Against Poverty, working with other churches in our town. And as we think of facing fears and knowing God's power to transform today in today's service, we're just going to start with a really encouraging interview that Chris is going to do with one of the recent clients who's gone debt-free, just to share some of the great news of what CAP is doing and the life-transforming work that we're seeing through that ministry. Over to Chris.
Welcome, Stuart. It's good to talk to you today. Thank you.
Good to talk to you as well. Yes.
Thank you. And we really appreciate you taking the time. We'd love to hear a little bit more about your life and your journey with CAP to share with a wider audience. So thank you. Perhaps we could start with understanding a little bit more about how life was for you before you got involved with CAP.
No problem. Right, okay, well, going back, last year, probably a little bit before that, I come into a lot of problems with money, come out of work, lost my job, I had to go on to Universal Credits at my local job centre. I live in Morven, and the job centre in Morven has been absolutely great. They helped me with my sorting out my debt, and they put me in touch with CAP. Great. And CAP is 100% helped me out and Brilliant. My local job centre.
Brilliant. Okay. So in terms of where you were with your debt, I remember when we first started talking back in May or June last year that had some help organizing an IVA.
That's correct, yes.
Yep. So you were with a voluntary agreement to pay back on your debts.
Yes.
But somewhere along the line, the firm helping you with that let you down big time, didn't they?
They let me down big time, yes. They actually finished working for some reason. They packed up. And I was trying to phone them up and write to them, and they weren't getting back in contact with me, sort of thing. And, of course, my money that I was paying to them had stopped coming out of my bank account. Yeah. And that's when all my letters started coming through from my creditors saying that they might send bailiffs to my door and all that. And
that must have been... Yeah, that must have been very worrying for you.
Because every time I heard a knock at the door, I thought it might be bailiffs, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And it was really frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you to CAP. Great. I don't have to be no more.
Great. Yeah, so So tell us a little bit about what working with CAP has been like. For some people hearing this, they won't really know what we do and who's involved in supporting you.
Right, well, okay. Well, what they do, you have an appointment with CAP, like, and then they put you through to somebody what can gather all the information together, which is one person. What's helped me out is Chris. Obviously, I can't give the surname, but he's been a great support. And also, they put you in touch with, like, a person that you can speak to, befriender.
Yeah.
Ken, he's been absolutely great. And somebody else who helps out with CAP is somebody called Colin, which is, he's been absolutely great. He's picked me up, took my little boy, because I've got a six-year-old boy, took us out for the for a few hours, which was absolutely great. The support you get off CAP, I recommend CAP to anyone. If you've got debt problems, please speak to CAP. They've helped me out 100%.
Great. Thank you, Stuart. Thank you. So Colin, you talked about there, part of our blessings team. He looks after that. And they've helped you with some practical things too, haven't they, in furniture? Well,
yeah, he's managed to bring things over for me and my boy. You know, he can pick things up if you're going through a bad time and you haven't got the money.
Yeah.
He could, you know, if there's anything you want, just text Colin, say
anything. Yeah.
Might take him a week to find it, but he can find it and then he delivers it over to me, like, you know?
Yeah. And I remember the story about the mattress. And
that's it.
Yeah, and that's enabled your son to come and join you more easily. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And we had the joyful news together, didn't we, just a few weeks ago, that you were now debt-free.
Yes.
And how does that feel, Stuart?
Absolutely great. And I'm going to make sure I don't get back into debt again, because it's been a long journey, if you know what I mean, to get out of it. And so now I'm debt-free, I'm going to stay debt-free, if you know what I mean.
And I'm also sensing, since we've been working together, you've been on a little bit of a journey with your faith as well. And reconnecting with church in a perhaps a more positive way.
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm a Christian, obviously. I'm with the church, the Source, which is good. Obviously, it's all on Zoom at the moment. Just be glad when all this is over so we can get to meet up in person, like. But since I've been working with CAP, I've got into my faith a lot more, if you know what I mean.
Great. Well, thank you ever so much for your time today, Stuart. And it's been fantastic to get to know you. And we are going to continue to be there in the background for you as you need us. And I know Ken, as your befriender, will keep those contacts. But thanks so much for your time today.
One of the things that we do at CAP Malvern to celebrate when people go debt-free is to ring the bell at St Andrews. And today we are recognising that three folk have gone debt-free. So this is B, J and S. And we celebrate together in their going debt-free.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the work that is happening within CAP. We thank you for the wonderful CAP befrienders that we have working with all the clients in our town. How incredible is it that we're seeing clients become debt-free in a time where we're always being told how much everyone is struggling financially? But Lord, we also thank you for the CAP clients that are not yet debt-free, that you would continue to work with them and the befrienders to see their day come one day, and bless them all. We pray for tomorrow, Lord, when our teachers will return to their classrooms and the students will start their staggered return back to school. We pray for our kids and youth especially, that you will be with them, however they may be feeling after such a long time away from their norm. We pray for their safety for all of them, for peace, and for our parents to be filled with a new energy. And Lord, we pray for Prince Philip after his heart operation this week. We pray that he will make a full recovery and be allowed to return home when he is well enough to his family. We thank you for the incredible doctors and nurses that have looked after him and worked with us in our NHS every day. We thank you for our kindness project that has been in practice for the past few weeks. Please continue to place new people on our hearts, be it friends, family, or our neighbours, and help us to spread kindness and blessings to all in our town. Thank you for all the people that have been blessed so far throughout, and may those people have people on their hearts to bless others. We pray for Helen and Eddie that have both lost family members recently. We also lift up anyone else in this situation right now. We want to fill them with your love and restoration during this incredibly difficult time. Wrap your arms around them, Lord, and fill them with your love and peace. And finally, as our community starts to open up again, as more of us return to our workplaces, we pray, Lord, for peace where there may be fear. For some, there is so much excitement in our life resuming again, but for many still, there is a lot of fear and worry. Please, would you just be with us all in this upcoming week? Fill us with your peace and help us to all continue to be hope in our communities. Amen.
And so, as our Saviour taught, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Jesus calms the storm. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.
That must have been some storm. Here's a picture painted by Rembrandt in 1633, which captures the fury of the waves and the desperation of the disciples struggling in the bow of the boat while others try to wake the sleeping Jesus in the stern. Lake Galilee is noted for its sudden storms as the wind comes funneling down from the surrounding hills. But this must have been an exceptionally bad one for experienced fishermen to be so terrified. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all describe this incident. As we heard, Matthew says, Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Mark says, A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. He also gives the detail that Jesus was asleep on a cushion. The disciples were at the mercy of the furious waves and ferocious wind and feared for their lives. If you wonder how Jesus could sleep through it, bear in mind that according to Matthew's account, since he came down from the mountainside where he'd been teaching what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, He had healed a man with leprosy and the servant of a Roman centurion and Simon Peter's mother-in-law and crowds of other people who came flocking to him for healing and deliverance. We know from another healing story in Luke's gospel that Jesus felt power going out of him as he healed. So humanly speaking, he must have been exhausted. And as the Lord of the wind and waves, it seems he knew they were safe. Our subject today in the series Faith Under Pressure is facing fear. The disciples in the storm were fearing they were going to drown. And Jesus' words when they woke him were, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" So there must be important lessons for us to learn from this story. We have been living in a climate of fear for a year now, ever since the COVID-19 storm first swept over our country, threatening not only our way of life and our livelihoods, but our very lives themselves. Hearts have been failing for fear of dying a horrible death, separated from our loved ones. We have feared for the effects of isolation on our elderly relations in care homes, and for the mental health of our children and our sanity as parents while schools have been closed. Jobs have been lost and businesses have closed, and there is fear and uncertainty over what will happen when the lockdown restrictions are lifted. And even now, when the statistics show such encouraging results from the vaccination program, still, day after day, the relentless news media feed us with the latest causes for fear. This week, we've learnt about the new Brazilian variant, which is so contagious and may be resistant to the vaccine. At loose in the country because of an unidentified carrier. And there's a lot of fear and anxiety among parents and teachers around the longed-for return of our children to school on Monday. And in all this, as with the disciples in the boat, there is a feeling of helplessness in the face of the forces of nature. Was it unfair of Jesus to reprove the frightened disciples for lack of faith, rather than reassuring and encouraging them? Could he be saying the same to us, his 21st century disciples? Don't we need reassuring and encouraging too? Is it possible to have faith under pressure instead of fear? Before attempting to answer that question, we need to consider the way the story ends with the dramatic miracle of the calming of the storm at the word of the Lord. Mark says, "Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and suddenly it was completely calm." That was obviously a huge revelation, as well as a huge relief to the men in the boat, and increased their awed questioning of who Jesus was, though their faith continued to be pretty flaky. I suppose you could say that the God-given skill of the scientists, which has amazingly accelerated the successful development of life-saving vaccines, is the outstanding miracle of our time, mitigating the danger from the virus for us and promising a way out of lockdown. And there have undoubtedly been many miraculous experiences of healing or protection from the virus worldwide in answer to prayer. But I don't believe that the miraculous calming of the storm was ever the main point of the story, and it isn't for us today either. You see, with Jesus in the boat, whether awake or asleep, the disciples should have known they were safe in the storm. Judging by his rebuke, Jesus obviously felt they'd already seen enough evidence of his power to trust him. They should have been saying, "If Jesus can sleep through this, surely we'll be all right. Keep bailing, boys. Don't let's wake him. He's so tired." Remember, the first time Peter met Jesus, he healed his mother-in-law. And in Luke's gospel, we read how soon afterwards, Jesus borrowed Peter's boat as a pulpit. And after he'd finished speaking, told Peter to put out into deep water and let down his nets. Peter obeyed, although he thought it was futile. When they caught such a huge number of fish that the nets began to break, Peter fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Instead, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." This is when Peter and his fellow fishermen started their journey of discipleship. And I've already mentioned some of the miracles they'd witnessed before the storm befell them on the lake. In Luke's account, the healing of the paralyzed man let down through the roof and the restoration to life of the son of a grieving widow in the town of Nain also precede this story. Hence Jesus' words, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" What about us? There's actually a children's song complete with actions which says, "With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing on." Smiling at the storm may sound trite, not to say unrealistic, but believing we're safe because Jesus is in the boat with us in the storm is the metaphor chosen to help us understand how we can have faith when we're facing frightening situations. We've all felt fear. We know how visceral it is, how it paralyzes us, how it churns our stomachs and dominates our imaginations. And the Lord knows that too. He faced it in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he wants to help us to grow in our trust that whatever happens, we are safe if we belong to him. If you used the midday prayers that Dave produced at the beginning of the first lockdown, you will know how many psalms express faith in God as our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. And they will have reinforced your faith as you read them aloud. One of my favourite psalms is Psalm 34, which says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Did you notice how the word fear is used with two different meanings in those verses? "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." And "fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing." The Bible describes the awe and reverence due to our almighty and holy God as the fear of the Lord. It was the fear of the Lord which the disciples were expressing when they said, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." And that fear displaced their previous fear of drowning. But for me, it isn't so much my knowledge of God's power to rescue me, which is an antidote to fear. More meaningful is my experience of his perfect love for me. As John writes in his first letter, chapter 4, perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with torment. I remember the first time I went out with a friend and left my baby boy in David's care for a few hours. I was so scared that something would happen to him. But then God showed me that however much I loved him, it could never be as much as God loved him. So he was perfectly safe. Can we entrust our own lives and the lives of our loved ones into God's loving care, even at a time of pandemic and in all the other changes and chances of our uncertain lives? In his second letter to his adopted son Timothy, chapter 1, St. Paul writes, "God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Why self-control? Well, I don't think it means gritting our teeth and stiffening our upper lips. Firstly, I think Paul is reminding us that we have to act responsibly. One of my favourite quotations is from Oliver Cromwell, who said to his men before the battle, "Trust God and keep your gunpowder dry." We shouldn't go out on the next sunny day and join a rave or a crowded beach, thinking I shall be okay because I trust God. More importantly, I think it means that we can choose whether to give way to fear or to say, "Lord, you know I'm scared, but I'm going to trust you." And every time we dare to trust him, he builds our faith so that we can trust him more. Another of my favourite quotations is from an old hymn. "His love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. If you're new to faith or still uncertain, this all probably sounds a big ask. Reading or hearing how others have put their faith to the test is helpful. Our Advent calendar of hope was full of stories of how Jesus came alongside people we know and transformed difficult and dangerous situations. There's a story in the Gospels of a man who said to Jesus, "Lord, I do believe, but please help my unbelief." And I think that's a very good prayer to pray. As we grow as disciples of Jesus, we learn to lean our weight more and more on his promise to be with us whatever happens. He doesn't promise we won't have troubles and sorrows, but he promises he will be with us in them. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read, "God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" The ultimate antidote to fear is our faith in Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, not only for this life, but beyond the grave, that death is not the end, but the gateway to life eternal. That same writer to the Hebrews writes in chapter 2, "Since we are people of flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in our humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of the one who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 writes about the resurrection of Jesus. "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, leading the way for all those who die in faith." And he ends this section, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." To illustrate what that means, I'm going to read a story that Anna Laidler told us at the beginning of January. "I just want to share a few thoughts of encouragement. A dear family friend called Bishop Patrick Harris, who brought me to faith when I was 12, died last week in Cheltenham Hospital. My mum spoke to Val, his wife, yesterday, and she said that 3 days before he died, he woke up after being unconscious and said over and over, 'They are everywhere.' Rachel, his daughter, asked him who he was talking about, and he said, 'Angels, green, blue, yellow, white, everywhere.' He then closed his eyes and died 3 days later. He wasn't on any drugs. The man in the next bed said he was utterly amazed by the praying, reading the Bible, and the worship songs played when the family were with him, and felt a presence of someone in the room the whole time Pat was in the bed next to him. He told the nurse that when he goes home, he'll be getting a Bible and going to church. So even right up until his last breath, Pat was still living out his mission on earth. Praise the Lord." I'm going to close with a beautiful prayer written by a Christian called Thomas A. Kempis, back in the 15th century. Then we're going to listen to the song, oceans, an expression of faith based on the story of how, later in the Gospel, Peter tried to walk to Jesus across the water. That showed his faith had grown, though even then he still faltered. We too are bound to falter. So in the song, we express our faith in the one who calmed the storm and reached out his hand to rescue Peter. You've never failed, and you won't start now. Let's pray. Loving God, you know what is in me. You know my strengths and weaknesses, my hopes and fears. Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth, from uncertainty to trust, from turmoil to peace. Write your blessed name, O Lord, upon my heart, there to remain so indelibly engraved that no prosperity, no adversity shall ever move me from your love. Be to me a strong tower of defence, a comforter in tribulation, a deliverer in distress, a very present help in trouble, and a guide to heaven through the many temptations and dangers of this life. Amen.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail.
Just be still. And in the stillness, just be aware of God's peace. God's peace and God's presence calming your fears. Hear Jesus say to your fears, peace, be still. And as you rest in his presence, just know his great love for you. That love has Heather shared, which casts out all fear. And as we continue to respond, we now look outwards and just think, how can we be a people that bring peace to others in their storms? And Helen's going to come and share with us the next instalment of the Kindness Project before we sing our final song.
The Kindness Project continues this week with two more activities that you might like to join in with. Our theme this week is facing fear and knowing God's power. The pandemic's been so difficult for so many people. Many people in our communities are fearful right now. But this week, we're particularly thinking about local businesses, many of whom are struggling to keep going and are fearful for the future. So our creative idea this week is to write a note or a card with some words of encouragement and or some positive feedback for a local business and then post it through their door. Or maybe you could bake them a cake, this one I made earlier, and drop it off to them, with a message to let them know that we are thinking of them and praying for them. Let them know that your message comes with love and blessing from St Andrew's or from All Saints. And for our reflective idea this week, you will need a small blanket, just like this one. Life in the pandemic can be, for some of us, very challenging, and we can be facing real fears. In the boat, in the storm, the disciples were terrified, but Jesus brought calm and peace to them in that situation. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. So take your shawl or your blanket and wrap it around your shoulders. Sit quietly and prayerfully, and allow a feeling of calm and peace to meet you in your fears. Remember that God loves you and is with you. God is your refuge and your strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Just allow those feelings of calm and peace to meet you in your fears. And as you sit under your shawl, you might like to pray as well for the businesses that you've reached out to, that they too may know God as a refuge and their strength. And then when you finish praying, as you take off your shawl and fold it up, just imagine wrapping all those fears and concerns inside the shawl and handing them over to God. Thank you.
Through the is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I?
As we just go from here into our days, a prayer for peace. Peace go with you. God's quiet within the noise. God's hope within uncertainty. God's rest within the toil. God's presence within your soul. Peace go with you. Amen.